everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. Well, as promised, I'm doing a little second episode. I was going to do an Epstein, but I think it's going to take forever, so I'll probably do that tomorrow, along with another part of all the deep dives that I'm working on at the same time. I got an email today, this morning, from somebody that I hadn't heard from in many, many years. This person is an expert in a lot of stuff that I deal with. They are familiar with a lot of yachters and the industry. This person used to be a very, very big source for a lot of things that would go on in, how should I put this? Just, you know, some things on a, a shadier level maybe. But also was big on giving me scoop on some of the Northeast franchises of a certain cable show that features primarily women. And so this kind of came out of nowhere. But they have been talking to people. They reached into all of their sources. And they know a lot of people who were involved in certain aspects of Meghan Markle's past. And some people that were involved in her, not immediate present, but up to probably around the royal wedding. And has pieced together a fascinating kind of, not, I don't want to say it's research, just that kind of tied it all together. And it honestly could be an article. It's Daily Beast length. And I'm going to read a lot of it, not all of it. But just because it's some things includes things that I've written about. But a lot is stuff that I haven't, where they have kind of pieced together some of the missing puzzle, if you will. And I've read it to myself a couple of times. And I would say I agree with a lot of it. But some of it I don't necessarily. However, I don't know enough not to. I guess it's not that I disagree. It's just I don't know enough about that particular situation or corner of what was happening. That's how I should put it. But like I said, this person is an incredible source and only delivers the good stuff. One of the things is that I'm going to read them mostly in their voice, but it's apparently common knowledge that Meghan was part of the yachting set. And that Meghan wasn't a particularly popular yachter on the set. As that there were women who, in this little group that she was involved in, that there were women who were much more well-known. And it was kind of shocking when one of the men in that scene told her that Prince Harry was interested in spending some time with her, which is what brought her to London. And a quick drink with Piers Morgan. And it was at his favorite local pub right before that famous, quote, blind date with Harry. Now, Piers and Meghan were friendly, not in a sexual way. Just friends. And despite the fact that you know, Piers hangs with the Saudi and the billion-dollar baby yacht community, gents here and there, he's not part of them. And it's unclear how much of that he knew about her, Meghan, at this point. She had been manipulating any contact in the British press that she could because she wanted to get some stage acting jobs there. And I've talked about that in the past. And not just me, but there was a writer who talked about it. And how it was the most bizarre thing that they had encountered. And this was at that time when she's trying to get that name recognition. This is that time also the like the blind date. And the whole Prince thing, Harry, was probably going to be nothing more than a way for her to get more career contacts and some free travel to the UK to help that goal. And apparently Piers at that time, you know, went out of his way, gave her a good pep talk before this first date, some advice, etc. And, you know, there was an ulterior motive for Piers. I mean, what could be better than a good buddy dating the prince and feeding you info, right? But now, let's keep in mind that Meghan thinks she's there to meet Harry as a yacht girl. So her blind date kind of thing for Piers is really just kind of an act. Only thing is, Prince Harry either didn't know this yacht scene or didn't know this, you know, that Meghan, he was asking his yacht scene, involved pal, was in fact a yachter herself. And at some point, Meghan realized that he thought that maybe this was a real date, and it kind of turned into a real date rather than, you know, straight up yachting kind of thing. And Meghan keeps on kind of cultivating this press contact relationships that she has been working on, and the prince relationship. But before she knows it, he's head over heels for her. So kind of let's fast forward to the engagement. Now, at this point, she's still kind of knee deep in it with the press, but on the down low. But knowing who she's around, the pressure on her to leak stories to them is unreal and tip off locations that she and other royals will be at. And the press, you know, they sense blood. And then, you know, they have this arrangement, and she can't quite seem to wriggle out of this arrangement with them because of fear that she will lose Harry. And Harry can't find out she's talking to them constantly because there's rules about this stuff. And she can't jeopardize the wedding. It's this catch-22 pickle. She's made all these secret back channel deals with the press, but she has to keep honoring them for fear that they will spill, and then she won't be married. She won't get married to Harry. You know, and it's a fairy tale for her because you have this woman who just a year before is begging for FaceTime with the reporters who now are banging down her door. But everyone wants the wedding. The royals loved it. You know, it alleviates their work schedules for a few months. It takes bad press off them. And a wedding like this one, you know, it's great PR. You know, it's great PR for the royals. How all of a sudden they're becoming all-inclusive. They have this racist history. And here you go. And she's divorced, and she's an actress, and she's American, and she's getting married to one of Diana's sons. You know, this is just, hey, they like this wedding. And the aristocrats liked it because they want to land a spot in the wedding party. And then if that happens, then you can guarantee them being put in wedding after wedding with your name on every guest list in town. But it's also at this point that things are getting harder for her. Getting the information to the press is requiring the use of her personal assistant, and leaking stories is complicated. So it's right about now that the suspicions start to arise, because as stories are going out, everyone's suspecting she's the rat, maybe even Harry. So she does something crafty, and it kind of shows how gullible he was. She plays the blame game. But not before feeding the vultures, breathing down her neck, another story. It's about Kate and Princess Charlotte's dress fitting. She's sure to throw in that she was so difficult that she made Kate cry. You know, she's throwing out a lot of those minor Bridezilla stories at this point to throw off the scent that she is the mole. But Kate and literally anyone who knows her knows the story is ridiculous because she doesn't burst into tears anywhere in public. But it's about to become even more apparent that it's Meghan feeding stories out there when she decides to blame Victoria Beckham for the leak. So she was, you know, sure to complain and feed false stories to Bex prior to throwing her, you know, right under the bus. And, you know, Victoria has been around the block far too many times for this kind of nonsense. So she gave the heads up to Kate about Megan. But at this point, nothing can kind of be proved, right? And there's no one to prove anything to. But people are kind of starting to talk a little bit. But in the meantime, you know, this royal wedding train is full speed ahead. But David Beckham recently talked about this, right? He talked about the awkward encounter with Harry, where Harry had called David Beckham to accuse Victoria of leaking stories. And David Beckham says, no way. Which is clear because they've been friends with them forever. Right? This is, David Beckham and Prince Harry didn't just suddenly become friends when Meghan Markle was around. They had been friends for a long, long time. There was never any leaking. There was never any stories. You could have leaked a million things about Harry. But nothing got leaked. So all of a sudden, you know, because Harry is just believes everything that Meghan says, he's actually mad. And as I've said before, you know, David and Victoria go to the church, but not the reception. You know, and that's a very big difference when they went to Prince William and Kate's wedding, where they spent almost the whole night, and I think Victoria was pregnant at that time. And, you know, it was kind of interesting that they both kind of wore, I think at each wedding they kind of wore like these navy ensemble kind of things. But what Victoria did when she went to Meghan's wedding, though, was she wore those bright red heels, right? And just kind of, hey, I know what you did, and, you know. And that was the end. That was just kind of the end of the relationship. And they would meet up again. There was this, like, the royal tour in Australia. And Meghan was advised by her doctor to get rest. And therefore, you know, she wasn't really advised to get rest. But it allowed her to miss hanging out with the Beckhams at the opening of the Invictus Games. So then you have the wedding happen. And it just, you know, there's all those family stories and everything. And honestly, I think that the family likes a paycheck. This is kind of one of the things that I haven't investigated the family enough. But to me, it seems like they'll say anything for a paycheck. It's similar to what Michael Lohan would do with Lindsay. You want me to say something? Give me a check. And he would say it, to the point where he called his daughter an escort. Anyway, so Meghan at this point, she's just kind of, you know, screwing people over. She's getting rid of assistants before they know too much. And then, you know, the Meghan's difficult to store, you know, to work for story is out there. And, you know, they have all these NDAs and stuff, but her staff turns over because she doesn't want them talking to her husband or the Queen or Kate. And, you know, the problem is at Kensington, there's only one way in and one way out. And, you know, she's living with Kate and William, and there's other royals there, and it's kind of like Melrose Place. And according to Princess Diana, it was like a fishbowl. Bugged apartments, and the only way to get anyone in or out was in an assistant's car, back floor covered up. So Meghan's kind of having trouble leaking her stories. And the way it was put in here, she's in sort of a mafia-like scenario now. Feed it or die by its sword. She's living this kind of existence, constantly lying to keep something she doesn't even know if she wants, but she does need some security and protection. And by the way, a little side note, they have 15 royal protection officers watching them right now. 15, full time. And they rotate every 2 weeks. And that doesn't even count the Canadians that are there too. And not just protecting them, but also what? They're running to Tim Hortons, a little coffee, some Timbits, and running other errands, getting the dry cleaning. Is that what you want your protection officers to do? You know why they're doing that? Because they don't have to pay the protection officers. The government's paying the protection officers. If they got an assistant, they would have to pay them. Anyway, There's lots of issues. I think that this is what they're saying, is that Meghan really hated not being the belle of the ball. So she kind of needs to feed the beast, and she hated when anyone got more attention, even Prince Harry, and especially Kate. And then there had been the pregnancy talk, because Meghan had told more than one ex and ex-friend that she was unable to get pregnant. And if you ask her male exes, that is what they will say. And she was also, she leaked some, you know, some kind of exaggerated stories of Diana's interviews regarding fertility checks before marriage. And this was done to put up the counteroffensive before anyone demanded of her. And so they had no fertility check. You know, I mean, that's kind of a weird thing anyway. So I get that. But Meghan did IVF. And so many articles were put out for how she did not do IVF. And everybody's like, oh, she got pregnant so fast. And the crazy thing is, so then women think, oh, well, I can get pregnant instantly at age 38 also. The other thing that she did was, a lot of these visits, she went solo. So it wasn't too conspicuous. And Meghan and Harry did admit seeing fertility specials and other health and wellness doctors to be sure they were doing everything healthy. But no one actually said the words IVF, because, you know, imagine the implications. You know, it just kind of, it's not something that has traditionally been done in the royal family. Anyway, the Kate is kind of being a pain to Meghan, and Meghan's now kind of being held to the same standards and getting called out right and left. And she's kind of getting a little upset at the British press and not engaging. And then they start coming for her, because it all goes back to this arrangement that she made. Let's not forget the interview that, and all the attention that she wanted from the British press before she started dating Harry. And then she makes these deals, and she starts dating Harry, and she's got bigger deals to make. Well, now she's not making these deals, and so the press is going to go after her. And, you know, just even Piers, who's supposedly her good friend, he starts calling her out pretty much on a daily basis. So what can you do? Hey, let's just get pregnant. And it's just kind of, it's crazy. But, you know, and then there's that Amsterdam weekend party with Harry in 2018. It was 1 month before they announced that they're pregnant. And, you know, they're just, you know, they went through the whole meeting, dating, engaged, married, and parenthood just at breakneck speed. You know, what was the rush? Security. I'm not talking about personal protection security. I'm just talking about security. The faster you get married, then, you know, it's much harder. You're not going to get divorced, and you just rush through everything, and you got it locked down. And one of the things that was odd is because, you know, Archie was born in May, but she should have been pregnant in Amsterdam when, by all accounts, she was hammered all weekend. So, you know. And then there was the whole Soho House thing, and, you know, talking about their first and second dates at Soho House. And anyway, but, you know, the thing is that I wanted to talk about, the source talks about the Giles Corran thing, the TV, the reporter and TV presenter. And he tells her, and I'm just going to read it as is, he tells her and is sure to run a story on this funny anecdote later that week to remind her the story of meeting her 5 years prior, before she was dating Harry at a party, when his wife was gobsmacked at her being a celeb and wanted a picture with her, a selfie. And, you know, no one ever said I wanted a selfie with Meghan before Harry. And then she said, oh, yes, of course, I remember. And he joked how sweet she was to pretend she remembered. And what have you been up to the past 5 years? But she remembered, and she's shaking in her boots that because the selfie story is crap. And who knows the story he would tell if he told the truth, considering who's at the party they're at in Amsterdam and how these two actually met 5 years ago. But Meghan's getting smarter, so she promised him something in their drunken talks, a story so big it will shake everything up. And she's again off the hook by simply throwing someone under the bus, her husband's family, Rose Hanbury. you know, why did Megan pick that friend of all the friends? You know? Well, I mean, that is the one who William was cheating on Kate with. But she spills the entire story. Very detailed story to this Charles Korn guy. And he buys it hook, line, and sinker. So she's off the hook with him, and she adds a ton more validity by telling him that he cannot leak this until she tells him. Soon, she promises. Otherwise, everyone will know it's from her. Because it's true, and the royals are her family, and confide in her. And she says that the affair is still going on. Now, my source says that the affair didn't actually happen. And that's another thing where I just don't know enough. That she just picked Rose Hanbury out because of some slight. We're just a random person like that. So fast forward to Megan is pregnant announcement a month later. And a ton of drama going on behind the scenes because Megan's mad that Kate and William's children are princes and princesses and her child's not to be. You know, again, I think that they are the ones who chose not to. This is saying that she wanted the title, but the queen was just not going to do it. And then you have the tweet from Giles where it says, yes, it's an affair. I haven't read the piece, but I know about the affair. Everyone knows about the affair, darling, even us. And it wasn't enough that he got the call from a livid Megan during her 16-day New Zealand tour. It wasn't enough that he leaked the story there by getting tons of favors and private props. No, he had to go on Twitter and brag about it, boost it up a bit while making himself look like he hangs with all the royals all the time, claiming firsthand knowledge of this affair after sitting in an all-weekend party with, you know, Kate. But somehow no one notices that connection. No, not with Kate, with Megan, I'm sorry. Despite him bragging about their time in Amsterdam and a piece he wrote in the Times in the UK. So people were more concerned about them being in Amsterdam for free, and then bam, a month later she's pregnant, so no more Amsterdam talk, because that could make her look like she was drinking with the baby. Not sure if she thought the affair story would bring it all down or what, but it doesn't. And it's super convenient that it explodes while her and Harry are down under for weeks. So funny how the media was like, oh, maybe don't go on the trip because you're so pregnant. She certainly has reason not to go, but she was like, no, I'm going. And then they come home, and right away, they move to Frogmore, where she can do what she wants, and this press chit-chat slowly morphing into various deals and money, and the press is more interested in boosting them up now, chatting about how special, you know, Frogmore is, and, you know, everything's going great. And this is the time when, of course, she starts getting the clothing and all that kind of stuff, and baby Archie's born, and he's not a prince. Private christening, no outside the hospital pics. We won't even tell you the hospital. Maybe we had him at home. Not until the birth certificate's released, which she loves because it does list her occupation as Princess of the United Kingdom. She probably has it framed. She made sure it was leaked everywhere. So then everybody finds out where he was born. Nobody has ever told the godparents. No one in the royal family tells. And then Meghan feeds the worst pic of William with a grimace at the christening, and that's the big story. And then all the Epstein stuff starts coming up, and it's nerve-wracking. And, you know, she spent a lot of time obsessing over pictures and coverage of the Epstein situation, mulling about her yacht days and who she knew. And then there's the Africa documentary and the lawsuit filed against the newspaper. And, you know, this is when it kind of falls apart. And there's a part where this source says, now there was always going to be the same place for Harry and Meghan and more than enough involvement. In fact, more than Harry ever had. But Meghan has been playing so many sides and angles that she's waiting for the knives to come from every angle. And let's not forget there's a very big mouth reporter that she in person and maybe loud and drunk gave the cheating story, which is still huge. Then you have October 2019 and no one's speaking, and Meghan's beyond paranoid, plus the Prince Andrew story breaking, and Meghan just wants to get out of town again, like New Zealand, or, you know, a runner. And then the announcement comes that they'll spend the Thanksgiving abroad. And then Prince Andrew gives his interview on November 17th, and it took 5 days later for Meghan to come out saying that she was horrified, championed women's causes and on, about his description of sex. And, you know, this is kind of where it is. Then there was the Christmas speech picture snub with no pic of Meghan and Harry and Archie on his first Christmas, no less. And then it's kind of just, hey, they all kind of, this is where we're at. But the source says that the zinger, the thing that caused Meghan to push the detonator on the whole thing, long before the palace or Harry was ready, the birthday walk to church. You know, usually you only see press coverage of the church walk on Christmas. But on January 5th, there was a huge spread, tons of stories on the birthday walk and, you know, Kate wearing the fedora and a matching coat and, that she even walked in front of William for the walk to the church. And then the queen matched her in purple, you know, and that was just kind of, there was, Rose Hanbury again. So that was the kind of thing where everybody kind of said, hey, Meghan, we know what you've done, and that she got the message. And then, you know, to announce that, you know, she and Harry would leave, and when did they do it? On Kate's birthday, because the message was for Kate. I know you know, and I'll leave you be now. You win, they're yours. And then take the dogs and Archie to Canada. And, you know, that's kind of, I don't think many people know kind of the whole Rose Meghan deal is what they're saying. You know, there were so many straws that broke the back. And this is kind of their take. And I kind of, you know, summarized a little bit because it is super, super long. I would have been reading for a half an hour. And it's just a different kind of angle and perspective and filling in some blanks. And it's interesting to hear the Rose thing was just a name picked out, that there wasn't actually an affair. I'm of the belief that there was an affair and that Meghan leaked it. This person is saying that there was an affair, was not an affair, but Meghan leaked that there was. Kind of tomato, tomato. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that second episode today. And I will talk to you guys later.